to the check box. That was Territory by the Blaze. Gentlemen, what's going on? We here.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good.
Word. It's been a while.
It's been quite the hiatus.
It definitely has been. We want to apologize for that. I took my trip to Cali. You know what I mean?
Yo, tell us about that, kinda, that shit, man.
Yo, Cali, man.
Tell the viewers. We heard it.
It was freaking awesome. I loved it. It was everything I wanted. I got out there. It was a point to just network with everybody, and that's exactly what I did. I attended BarberCon. What happened?
Connections built.
Oh, yeah. Many connections built. I probably handed out about like 60, 70 business cards out there, so it was dope. I just came back on a different type of time. I mean, y'all know what's up, man. I don't know. I came back feeling great. Doing bigger things too. Getting bigger in this barber game. So, whatever. What's going on with y'all, though?
You also came back with some elite barber equipment.
Yeah. I mean, shout out to Babyliss Pro Barberology. You know what I'm saying?
But what's the shit that you showed me in your pops?
The shaver?
You know what I'm talking about? Mars, you know what I'm talking about? The shit that you bought.
I bought mad shit.
Fuck.
This guy.
There was the scissors.
Oh, the Hanzo shit. Yeah.
Hanzo.
Did you see any like new like what was the cool new inventions and stuff?
Hanzo. Excuse me?
Cool new inventions. I know I like at these like conventions and stuff, like they'll have like the latest Hanzo tech and
Pretty much. Yeah.
Or like cool new products and
stuff.
Yeah,
exactly. Pretty much so out in BarberCon, there wasn't really like any. There were some new things. I actually copped a shaver from Babyliss. That's not available until August. So that's pretty dope. But there aren't like really new inventions in the game.
Gotcha.
There are some, but it's not crazy.
Just
like
innovations that make stuff.
Yes.
Cool. I remember seeing like one that there was like, you know, so that I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have it at BarberCon because it's actually encouraging people to make their own haircuts. Mm-hmm. But you remember that stuff that it's like the self shape.
Yeah. You can like put it on your finger and you just
No. That's the blade.
Or the mirror one.
That's the self cut system. Yeah. The self cut system.
That goes for about $230.
That's intense.
You got me fucked up. It's like the Kobe system
for three little mirrors.
Remember the Kobe system?
That's intense. But yo, how's your day, HP man?
It was alright, man. I woke up.
I hope so.
Tight. Oh, I woke up. Yeah, but I woke up tight. I didn't wake up tight. I woke up fine, but like, then I was just like thinking about mad shit on my way to work, and I got pissed, and then I was pissed at work.
It seems to be a regular occurrence for you.
Not even.
You be waking up just angry at the world.
Not all the time, and it's been good lately. But like today, I was just tired. A lot of shit. But it's moved out, man. It's moved out. I'm better.
That's what's up. That's what I like to hear.
And then, just fucking working on myself.
Well, now you good, bro. Now you good, man.
No, I'm saying that's like the daily working on yourself kind
of
day.
Type of shit.
You know what I'm saying? Like, not trying to let it take over, not trying to fucking be tight.
I hear that.
Too Alec, much, letting it like fucking
Alec, what's up with you, brother?
Boil over.
What's up with you, man? How was your day?
Dude, I'm tight, bro. I'm like $125 poorer, man. I went to court today.
You went to court today.
I went to court today. I went to court in Elmsford today.
Yikes.
Those Westchester County motherfuckers,
They don't play.
I hate them,
man. They don't play.
I hate them. Like, the ones down here, like the NYPD, I love NYPD.
No.
Compared to Westchester County cops.
Yeah, Westchester cops.
Yeah.
They're assholes. They're complete assholes.
They got nothing better to do, honestly.
Huh?
They got nothing better to do.
Literally. I think their sole purpose is to generate money for their little bullshit.
I'm a Yonkers cop.
Yeah, and I'm just like, yo,
Yonkers
was
different.
It blew mine. So, I mean, you know, I ended up pleading guilty. I mean, it was for a seatbelt violation. I
pleaded guilty.
No, it was for a seatbelt violation. There's no points, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I just want to.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't need to fight that, bro. Just pay that shit.
But besides that, bro, like, today was pretty good. Like, I moved into the new lab today, so I'm kind of like phasing out of my older lab, and I'm going into, you know, a new lab where I'm going to be starting, like, that genetic pharmacology stuff, which is dope, man. I'm excited to start this new chapter, man. So
I'm so excited for you,
bro. Awesome, bro.
So excited. I think you should tell them what's going on, though. I don't think they know.
What?
About
what?
About, you know, PhD. Getting into that program and all
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah,
word.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell everybody what's going on, man.
So I don't know. I mean, if you know me, you obviously know that I'm a master's student in biochemistry right now. I might have mentioned it, like, you know, in another episode, but that's my thing. It's my passion. I love it. And I'm more in the research field, not too much clinical. And so, I'm shooting for my PhD. I finally got accepted, which is awesome.
Hey.
And I'm moving into the pharmacology department. I'm scared as hell to get into the pharmacology department. Because not because now I have to take all the pharmacology classes. That's not really what I wanted to do, but that's the only department that had money. And to be honest, fuck it, man. I mean, to be honest, I mean, I want to get into pharmaceuticals anyway and get into like industry. So I mean, this is a blessing in disguise.
Listen, it's a blessing in disguise.
It's a blessing in disguise.
Get into the pharmaceuticals.
Do what you gotta do.
So now I'm gonna just be proving myself. Now
that's good, brother. I'm happy to hear that, man. Kenneth, what's going on, brother? How was your day, bro?
It was regular. What's today?
Today, Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday.
Wait, Wednesday. You had a test today, no?
No, I have the test Friday. Complex analysis. Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, not really. That class sucks, but yeah, it's like the hardest math class I've ever taken. But yeah. I was studying all day for that.
Put hair on your balls, bro. It's good. It's good for you.
Sheesh.
I'd rather shave it off.
Thank God.
No, that's actually how I that's how I roll too. I like my balls just like turn shaving,
pubic shaving.
Alrighty, yeah. That's how we got to pubic shaving.
See what happened?
Yeah. No, it's yeah.
No. I mean, it was just
a, I like to keep a nice lawn, but like, you know, just my balls need to be, you know.
I'm like,
talking about testicles, man.
I thought you were actually talking about the other thing. I'm being so sad. I mean, we might as now well since we're there.
Totally the image I needed.
It's all right. Anyway.
Honestly speaking, though, guys, I'm freaking parched. So what I'm going to do is crack open a brew over here. Shout out to my guys over at Gun Hill Brewery, man. Y'all know what it is. We got Hazy Hitter. Special shout out to Taps and Caps, man. Y'all already know what it is. We got a nice IPA over here. Word. Definitely resembling little Babe Ruth guy there. Hazy Hitter.
Yo, but you know what's representing the Yanks? Right there. Don't mind the haircut. That's a fact. You know what I'm saying? Hide my haircut.
Let's go, Yankees. Okay.
But yo, and the flag. You know the vibrations.
Dude, let me know how to say it, man.
It's actually pretty good. A little strong. Yeah, it's actually smooth. Thanks a lot.
You know what? Fuck
Once
it.
Again.
Fuck it.
Hey, attaboy. There we go. There we go. All right, shouldn't be this hard.
Come on, boys. Come on.
It takes three guys to take a pint out of one of those plastic
fucking go
pieces.
Yankees.
Alrighty, guys. So, let's speak a little bit. A lot of things going on, though. Talking about the Yankees, just want to get into baseball really quick. Let's, first off, Harper signed. Since we've spoke about Harper, he didn't sign. So, he finally signed for $330 million, 13 years. With the Phillies, no opt-out option, no trade option, straight Philly for the rest of his baseball career. What are your thoughts on that? $330 million.
Bugging. I mean, good contract, good money. I just think he's bugging with the no opt-out.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He's got no trade clause, too, which is, that's the only way of him getting out.
That's what I'm saying.
Really his decision. I mean, but it's really, that's would trash. Be by trade, but... yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I don't know what the fuck he was thinking with the no opt-out.
That's what
Philly
I'm saying.
For 13 years.
That's what I'm saying. Getting that
being part of any team for 13 years.
Yeah, that's beastie.
Nah, but it depends.
Nah, it's some franchises sort of. Like
I mean, it's the Phillies, though. I guess they're respectable. It's fucking Yankees, you know, all day, though. So no other franchise is respectable.
I'd rather play for the Mets than the Yankees.
You're crazy, Pop. That's
what
the every episode. This guy says things that just makes me not even
be cool. In the words,
it's like my levels.
My guy, he's an iconoclast.
Yo,
dude, what is going on?
He does it for the sake. He does it for the sake of.
This guy said he'd rather play for the Mets than the Yankees.
As a player, I would rather play for the Mets only because the pressure is slightly.
Sorry, get the fuck out. Listen, in the words. Listen, in the words of ASAP Ferg. In the words of ASAP Ferg. Get the fruit out my motherfucking face. Get the fruit out my motherfucking face.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
Fuck out my face.
Yo,
fuck out my face.
What?
No, I'm saying I know it's an ASAP song, but I'm putting first.
Fuck out my face. Yes, it was, bro. We'll get to that later. We'll get to that in the break. We got you.
Wouldn't that rock
you? We got you. No. Anyways, back to baseball really quick. Talking about contracts, we got to talk about the biggest one that just happened. Mike Trout, $430 million for 12-year extension with the Angels. That is the biggest contract in sports history. $430 million.
And his highest annual
value.
It's
all guaranteed, isn't it?
It's baseball, man. What the fuck is you talking about?
That's like $222,000 a game.
Actually, it became official today.
That's insane.
Yeah, I forgot. It was like
a game.
He's getting like $1,600 per pitch.
Yeah, $16,000.
But he makes the CEO
$1,600 per pitch.
22,000
per like AB,
some shit like that. But he yo bro, 430. Nuts. Beast. He has the highest annual value too. So it's like 36 million.
He is statistically the best player. So
that's what I'm saying,
bro. He's statistically already like probably one, no, not probably. He's like one of the best players of all time already, statistically. Like,
already, and angels. That nigga got years.
He only has like what, 6-7 seasons.
Yeah, 6 or 7.
And he's already statistically, he's already like arguably one of like the greatest. You know what I'm saying?
Angels need to build a team around him, or they're
gonna be. That's why. All right, no, I think he might have been even more bugging than Harper. For the simple reason that the Angels really got no fucking future. Like, their farm system is trash. That's they have the no pitching. They never had pitching. And they got no money. So it's like, I mean, I don't know what the money situation is like, but they just gave him almost half a billion. You feel me? And they have not been known to spend.
Listen.
So I want to know what's going to happen.
They were better off.
Is this kind of like what happens like when a team is like desperate? Like,
what
like,
is this? Like, is that,
it's
like,
not
that. Well, it's not even that it's desperate. It's like, bro, this guy, he's literally the best baseball player.
Yeah.
Like, he's the once in a fucking generation, like, more than that. Like, it's fucking
no, I get
crazy.
That, but, like, since, I mean, apparently, like, well, they sound the logic like ass.
Is,
they
oh,
sound,
no, yeah, well, the thing is that this team is
if
trash.
If I keep this guy on my team,
right,
other
right.
people are going to want to come.
I have a chance.
I'm gonna
right,
sell
well, drugs. Also, you well, have a chance.
Well, that's people my, gonna wanna well, that's my thing. It's like, yeah. it's like their last.
And without him, they're nobody.
Well, that's my point. Yeah,
they got an old ass Albert Pujols.
Right. They're desperate.
They got Pujols, and that's it. He's like fucking 88.
It's kind of just like, it's like, no matter what, if you have a superstar on your team, you're going to sell jerseys. You're gonna sell hot dogs. People are gonna come see your superstar, just whether you suck or not.
Yeah.
And you're in LA. I mean, you might be you might be worse than the Dodgers, way worse than the Dodgers, but
way worse.
Yeah. You're still in LA.
Yeah,
you're still a.
You gotta be presentable,
quote unquote premier franchise.
You gotta pull up to the block like here.
I would have just traded him, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, that's what it is, man. On to other business, though, gentlemen. We're gonna open up with some sad news here. This episode is gonna focus around a couple of the tragedies that have been going around.
Where it's a bit somber.
Yeah.
But
I mean, it's not gonna be like so sad the whole episode though. We're just gonna sit here and talk, man. You guys know,
talk about some real life shit.
Yeah, real life shit. You guys know we have these regular conversations. You know, if you guys know us in person, this is literally like just some regular shit. So we figure, yo, this is essentially why this podcast was created. Am I right? So, let's talk about this flight, from Ethiopian Airlines. Flight 302. It is the second plane in 5 months to go down.
It's a Boeing plane.
Yes, it is a Boeing 737 MAX with the new MAX 8 sort of system going in, and it fell. Like, oh my God.
You have to see that video. I mean, if you're a bit squeamish or if you're a bit sensitive to stuff like that, obviously just don't watch it. But I mean, there are a couple different vantage points that are given of that crash. You have some from the passengers themselves, which for me was the most like that's the shit that affected me the most. Yeah. You're seeing kids scream. I mean, you're hearing kids screaming. You know, everyone has those oxygen masks on. You know, and then once the plane starts to I mean, because if you see the video of the plane from the outside, from the spectators that were on the ground, this plane looks like it was made out of paper, and it was just like being flung around like a toy.
It's crazy you say that. I told Mars, I'm like, yo, bro, watch when you see this video.
Fake.
It looks like a paper plane.
It looks like a paper fucking plane.
That's
and
how you know
so,
it's going fast.
And then it exploded.
Hit that terminal velocity.
Right, because again, you know, usually if a pilot knows that that he's in trouble, or if he's going to be crashing, or if there's a possibility of crashing, and he has enough time, they will begin to dump fuel. And that is to prevent...
And they'll dump that, like, over cities with people?
They'll dump it wherever. I mean...
Because I was thinking about that.
I'm sure.
Like,
I'm
dump
sure.
that shit, cuh.
I don't know the specific...
Imagine
speci-
just
I
walking
know
out
specific-
jet fuel on you.
God forbid. That's terrible. But nah,
you
man.
You avoid explosion, and maybe somebody can survive.
Yeah, because when that hit, it was like a belly flop on the ground.
Yeah, and the way it fell, too, it was like no matter what.
It was almost as like it fell on its head.
Absolutely.
157 casualties.
Yeah. That was insane.
Fatalities.
Fatalities.
I just see it.
Casualties like injured?
No, casualties. No, casualties is, you know, yeah, for sure.
You know, 157. That includes the pilots, obviously, the flight attendants, everybody, all passengers. Apparently, the simulator on the plane was too advanced for the pilots. None of the pilots got any training.
The simulator.
Yeah,
that's what
they were never trained. Yeah, so it was the Max 8 simulator.
Copy.
That's basically the program that ran.
Oh, the software.
Yeah,
got you.
You know, that runs autopilot and whatnot. And apparently, what I read, according to the New York Times, was that the plane had an automated feature that would nosedive when it approached a stall, which what I read is sort of like a gust of wind that pushes the nose of the airplane up. Got so you. What it does is when that happens, it pushes down it automatically.
To yes, correct, it, to exactly. correct the plane's orientation in exactly. the air.
Copy, and the pilot copy, copy. Wasn't aware, number one, of that happening, and he wasn't even aware of how to, you know, control it at that point. He wasn't ready at all.
So these pilots, when... So did it respond... Do you know if it responded properly or did it nosedive?
No, so it worked exactly, I think, as it was supposed
but
to.
But they didn't know what was happening.
So he was fighting against it. And it's so... I'm assuming something else kicked in.
Yeah.
And was like, you know, like, okay, in response to what you're doing, we're going to do this based on the new software update. And it just...
And you know, I sent you guys an article.
Get the manual. That's what they were saying in the fucking black box, right?
Those were like the two articles that we were circulating in the group chat. So one of them was the day before that crash had happened.
Yes,
there was another plane. Same model, right? Same software. And there was a pilot that was hitching a ride on one of... Because that's often what happens, you know, if a pilot needs to get from A to B, mm-hmm. he'll hop on another jetliner, and then just hitch a ride.
That sounds wavy.
Yeah, no, it's pretty dope.
Your plane real quick.
You know, hang out in the cockpit and stuff. So apparently,
You see people sit, like, captains and shit, and, like pilots and flight attendants. They sit down in, like, first class, though. They don't be macking in the cockpit.
This was a pilot. So maybe he was just hanging out. But the thing is that they were starting to experience issues, and it looked like it had to do with that software. Mm-hmm. And according to the article, he ended up saving the plane from actually crashing, or actually undergoing. I'm not too sure how in jeopardy they were, but at the
odds are he saved it.
To be honest, we wouldn't know, but
both of the flights that crashed minutes after being in the air.
And so they both had similarities in, like, everything.
Yeah.
Right, everything. Right.
Everything.
Right. So, again, this guy, he ended up just being there at the right time, right place, right time on the plane. He was able to help them get through it, which was amazing. And I mean, and then the next day,
that happens.
Boom, that's then we have the same. Dude. It's incredible. It's insane. It's insane. I can just imagine the legal repercussions
on Boeing's part.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think. I don't know how you can release a software update and not tell your pilots about it
and not have the proper training, dude. Yeah. You're like, putting not only the pilots like, but everyone's lives in fucking jeopardy.
What
did
you think was like when you change anything? Like, how do you think that's gonna affect it? Especially something that I guess was that important because it's like it's a whole new reactive. You know, mechanism of
right.
system.
Right.
So it's like,
it's
like a whole new thing the plane is doing. So it's like, how do you fail to tell your pilots about it?
Yeah, because
that's fucking crazy.
I feel like, me personally, like, for example, like, let's say I'm one of the people distributing this thing, I'd be like, all right, listen. This is new software.
Listen here.
It's going on the fucking plane.
Yeah, like, don't be afraid.
This is what it does.
Don't be afraid.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, boom, you know what I'm saying? Whatever the fucking...
Because apparently... Because
there's lives on the fucking line, bro.
You know what it is, too? Because, like, I'm pretty sure, like, when they do get trained to be, you know, pilots and stuff, you know, I would love to talk to a pilot about this, right? I'm pretty sure if they do encounter a gust of wind that, you know, that does raise the nose up like this, you know, that they have to manually do that.
Yeah.
Right. So apparently this.
Or just let it go and then.
Or let it go and then.
You take control once it centers out. Because I would think that's what they have it for.
I think that's what it is. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that.
You get what I'm saying? So like once it goes up, it's already an autopilot and then it'll allow it to level itself out. And then they'll say like place hands on wheel, whatever the case may be. And boom, now you're back in control.
Yeah. You know I don't know enough about how.
No, neither do I.
Pilot shit works, but it was.
I know some hypothesis. In JFK, actually, they're like the people who they talk to the people who were whatever this is called.
the glowing
people who direct the planes
with the lightsabers.
Air traffic controllers.
Yeah, I heard they get bread.
No. Air traffic controllers are up in the thing. This is like with the
yeah.
The motherfuckers with the lightsabers, like fucking directing planes.
She's
shit.
The traffic one who gives controls. Them like directions and stuff. Like she's the one who's in charge of like making sure that they're.
She directs.
Like, maybe we can. With the I'd have to ask her.
But I don't know. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
That'd be cool.
That'd be interesting.
But yeah, so
she knows a lot.
That's crazy. And like I mentioned, the second flight in 5 months, guys. I'm gonna repeat that. Second flight in 5 months. The first flight was a Lion Air flight 610. that had 189 fatalities.
And that was the other day, right?
That was the one.
That was like five.
That was like October. Yeah, October. My thing is, like, why would you allow another plane out in 5 months of an incident?
Thing is that they probably thought it was an isolated incident first. Okay, and I mean, I'm just speculating here, but I mean, I'm sure they've had many flights with the same model, but they probably haven't experienced a gust of wind like that. You know what I'm saying? So you know, when you see the first one, you obviously have to investigate.
Of course,
you know, if it's an isolated sort of incident, I mean, you're not going to like ground all the planes. Which now the second time,
now they have
all these countries. All I mean, all these countries have grounded all of their 780.
How do you feel as a pilot that actually flew one and nothing happened to you?
I don't know,
bro. Nah, you got to just like lucky. Yo, like a question. Obviously, like
you know that show actually too. Talking about that they grounded all them.
Yeah,
I saw because apparently Trump was saying, "Yo." Like, I don't think they should be grounded, da-da-da, saying shit, whatever. And then somebody had, like, you know, the internet, man, is undefeated. They fucking found a tweet from, like, 2013 or whatever when he invested in them. He had invested in Boeing. And the tweet, it was, like, for 2013, the tweet was, like, fuck, what did it say? It was, like, oh, saw that the Boeing stock went down. Great time to buy, great company. And he bought, he's like, just bought tons of them, some shit like that.
Yeah,
like, now he's president. He's saying, yo, don't ground them because that's going to affect the operations and shit. Like,
nah, he's bought.
It's going to affect the company.
He should be the
So they were saying it's because he's invested in the company that he was saying, yo, don't fucking, don't ground them shits. I mean, who knows, man?
I mean,
I don't think that's connected, but that's still
funny. Nah, I mean, that's funny, though.
I mean, that's still funny. Especially with a nigga like Trump.
He got a tweet for everything.
You know, I don't know, but I mean, but to be honest, so is it
fake news?
Question though, is it like a defect?
Yo, time out. I'm sorry. No, say it again. After you say
No, I'm just saying, like, I mean, if they just didn't tell the pilots like that it was going to do something. It was a software update that they weren't aware of. So it's not a defect, but it was just their absence. It was their oversight and you know, not
like someone illegal was like, careless. Yo, we don't got to
It was careless.
Someone in finance.
Why the fuck are we gotta be in finance?
This is like in fucking to train them, so
logistics or something. Oh, well, okay. Listen, right, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
I'm sorry to hear what went on with all of the you know families.
Oh yeah, word man. How the fuck do you even deal with that?
You know what I'm saying?
All of them.
Well, obviously, I mean, they're gonna, you know, pursue some legal action.
I would hope so. There is legal action being had last time we checked.
I would hope so.
Really quick though, I cannot believe we forgot this.
I know exactly where you're gonna
check out the motherfucking backdrop. Holy shit, dude!
We're about we have our a business, goddamn man.
Backdrop. Yeah, shout out to Alex, uncle man.
Yo,
seriously, DMO. Really appreciate it, man.
We got the checkbox,
man. It's fucking gorgeous.
Minor changes, man. Beautiful fucking banner, dude. This shit is beautiful, man. Listen, if you're not listening, if you're not watching, I would advise you to get to YouTube ASAP so you can see this beauty.
Yeah. We might put it up on
We still got a bit to go, you know.
We still got a lot of things to go, man. But this will be the official backdrop. This will be available here at every episode, whenever, wherever you're heard. Gentlemen, all right, so let's move on to the next topic. Not really topic, but rather story. This New Zealand shooting.
Another tragedy. But one thing that kind of links these two stories together is the fact that media played a big role in the dissemination of the story. Not only of the story itself, but actual live, you know, first-hand footage. I mentioned in the beginning, you know, with the flight, you know, we saw people's faces, the reaction as they were going through it. It was insane. That's really what affected me.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, I can just imagine being, I mean, and I plan on going on vacation soon. So, I mean, like, you know, you have these things in the back of your mind. And seriously, for anyone going out on vacation, I mean, I know you guys have it on your mind, too. You know, cruises from now on.
Taking the mega bus.
But
both to Europe.
I first heard about the New Zealand shooting the day that it happened. So like the night of because I guess for them it's daytime. I think maybe so. Like, and I always have YouTube on as I'm sleeping.
Right.
And so I saw it on like the latest stories and stuff. And I woke up in the middle of the night. press it. I'm like, holy shit! Like, this is insane.
Oh wait, yeah. Wait, what time was it over there when it happened?
I have no idea.
Because
it was daytime. It was definitely daytime. Bro, because it was late over here. We saw the video of that.
Bro, over here it was like it has to be like 12:30 or something over here, right? Or like, well, because because I remember I was with my boys, and then I was on YouTube. Actually, it's fucking crazy. You just reminded me. I was on YouTube, and I remember seeing some like New Zealand news channel was like,
yeah.
30 minutes. It was like 30 minutes ago, and it put it up, and I was like, yo, damn, I'm shooting. Like, but at the time, it didn't say.
It's amazing how we're desensitized to that. Kind of like, oh yeah, another joke. But yo, like this one was a little bit.
When I saw like the real details the next day, because I saw it was like a 14-minute video. I was like, I don't know, man. Like 2 minutes into it, I just took it off. The next day I was like, oh damn, this is everywhere. Like, and I looked into it, I was like, holy shit. I was like, fuck,
man. So it was crazy. So like I went to work the next day, and I went to go get breakfast at the deli, and you know, one of my boys, Ibrahim, shout out to Ibrahim, I know he watches, you know, the guy from A to Z Deli.
Oh yeah, what's going on, bud? Yeah, what's good? You already know, man.
What's good?
What up?
He actually shared the video, but he actually was the first one to show me that, and that's when I sent it to you guys.
Look at that. Okay.
So he sent it to me, and I sent it to these guys, and I was like, holy shit. I know Josh was like the last one to see it. He was probably the first one.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, we were just all shocked. I mean, this is insane.
Yeah, that shit was like Call of Duty.
Yeah, I mean, how did you feel when you first watched that?
I felt a little uncomfortable, but you know, nothing new, to be honest with you. Like, nothing new, but like, I don't even know, bro. I don't even know.
No,
but,
no, that was totally unique in the way that it was shot, the clarity.
Yeah, and the way that it went down, it was like,
it's amazing how technology is changing the game when it comes to.
We are going to break down a little bit more on that in the second segment, guys. I'm going to take you out with this first music break. This is Nas, I Gave You Power.
I seen some cold nights and bloody days. They grabbed me and bullet spray. They used me wrong, so I sing this song to this day. My body is cold steel for real. I was made to kill. That's why they keep me concealed under car seats. They sneak me in clubs. Been in the hands of mad thugs. They feed me when they load me with mad slugs. 17 precisely, one in my head. They call me Desert Eagle. Semi-auto with lead. I'm 7 inches, 4 pounds. Been through so many towns. Ohio to Little Rock to Canarsie. Living harshly, beat up and battered. They pull me out, I watch as niggas scattered. Making me kill, but what I feel, it never mattered. When I'm empty, I'm quiet. Finding myself fiending to be fired. A broken safety, niggas place me in shelves under bed. So I beg for my next owner to be a thoroughbred. Keeping me full up with hollow heads. How you like me now? I go blow. It's the shit that moves crowds, making every ghetto foul. I might have took your first child, scarred your life, crippled your style. I gave you power, I made you buck wow. How you like me now?
Yeah. Welcome back, guys. This is the Checkbox. And once again, that was Nas with I Gave You Power. And just to catch everyone up on where we're at, we were speaking about the tragedies of these two flights in the past 5 months that have fell from the sky. Minutes after takeoff, they were the new Boeing 737 MAX 8. Thank you, bro. MAX 8. Airplanes, and they had this new technology that the pilots were not aware of, and that led to everyone on both planes dying, unfortunately, and all Boeing 737 MAX 8s have been grounded worldwide. We then introduced this recent tragedy of the mosque shooting in Christchurch, New Zealand. And Alec, you asked me how I felt about it. I couldn't really tell anybody, man, because we were running out of time, but we got some time now, and honestly, man, the first time I saw that video, first off, I saw it when I was cutting hair, and I'm like, oh, it's just another video.
Got you.
And then when I opened up the text messages amongst us, I saw all of the shooting shit. I'm like, the hell are they talking about? Opened up the video, bro, and I saw it with no sound.
Right.
Yeah, I saw it with no sound.
I saw it with no sound at first, and I heard it with sound.
This is very important because I saw it with no sound. Right.
And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, holy shit, am I looking at a Call of Duty montage? Am I watching a trailer for Call of Duty? That is all I fucking thought. I'm looking at the guns. This guy pulls a semi-automatic shotgun, lets it go. I'm looking at the gun, too, and I'm like, it has a design on it. And we'll get to exactly what's on the guns later. How did I feel, though, bro? I was honestly in awe. I was speechless. I was literally at a loss of words at how someone can do this.
It, you know, the intention behind it, it was just so intentional. You can feel the purpose behind it.
Exactly what he wanted to do. Like, you can feel it in the video.
And you know, for the majority of this episode, we will be getting into that purpose of not only the perpetrator. Do we have his name?
Yes. Yeah. We do have his name.
Brenton Tarrant.
Yeah. So not only Brenton Tarrant, but for other mass shooters. But I want you to continue with how you felt.
I was just at a loss of words, bro. I was heartbroken.
That's awful, man.
Yeah, the first one that went down, bro, I was like, holy shit.
And then when I heard it with sound.
Oh, my God. And on top of that, you know, I mean, just imagine. Obviously, this is where the whole empathy comes in, right? This is why we feel the way that we feel when we look at things like that. Because, you know, in our subconscious, we actually put ourselves in the shoes of these people. You know, just imagine just being... First of all, in your place of worship, you know, this is a safe haven, you know.
That's a safe haven, bro.
This is where you feel, this is where you find your peace. You know, religion, that's what religion is for, to find, and we mentioned religion, we talked about religion in other episodes. Yeah. This is where you're supposed to be finding your peace. Yeah. This is how people ground themselves and to look or turn around and see something like that. First of all, what they saw, they didn't even see the shooter. They probably saw that strobe light. You saw that strobe light at the end of his gun. You probably didn't notice it. Like, you have to really look hard. Well, no, you're not really that hard, but he has that tactical strobe light that blinds you. So you're disoriented at that point. So this guy was disorienting the motherfuckers in front of him. I'm sorry, not the motherfucker, but like the victims. And you know, as he was making his way inside. And these poor people, I mean, they're hearing this shit and they're trying.
There's children. There's so many children. Mm-hmm. There's so many elders
The thing that gets me...
Just everyday innocent people, man.
The kids, and then the thing about it, too, is just with the whole guns. Are we even going to get to the guns yet?
We are.
No, we're totally going to get to the guns.
Not yet, just because... I just feel like with a gun, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can shoot somebody from far away, so I just feel like... I feel like that's another thing too. Like, why is it so cowardly of an act? You know what I'm saying?
I'm just talking about in general.
Like, imagine yourself with a gun. You know what I'm saying? Like, compared to like stabbing somebody, you got to go up physically, go stab him. Like, with a gun, you just boop, pull the trigger, boom.
Dead. But then he wouldn't have got what he wanted, the result that he wanted.
No, I'm just talking about like using a gun in general, like murdering with a gun in general. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just. I don't know. That's just how I feel. Like, it's just so much. It's easier in a sense. Yeah, yeah. It's so cowardly because it's like you just walk in and like, look how he just broke so easily. So look how easily he fucking did a massacre, bro.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's nuts.
The motive. You have to understand.
I know. I'm just talking about in general.
Shooting. For sure.
It's just fucking nuts, man.
Because these people, you have to understand. I mean, people can call him a cop. People can call him. And to be honest, at the end of the day. This was a man with a motive.
Oh, intention, yeah.
This was the man that said he wanted. He was driven by ideology, And to be honest, I mean, you're going to see that, you know, when we discuss other mass shooters, you know, the motive, it comes from different places.
That's the funny thing I find about people like this guy, because it's like, as funny as it sounds, I'm pretty sure he's not clinically insane, right? Like, I'm pretty sure he's just someone with very strong... You know,
beliefs. Yeah.
You know, I consider. So it's like, a lot of people think like
someone must equal and mental.
Yeah,
sick in the head.
Yeah, like no, like the Vegas shooter was sick in the head, right? Like that guy was like fucking. He was mentally ill, like without a doubt. But you know, people like this, they have a straightforward agenda, and you know they're gonna see it through. It's kind of like suicide bombings with Islamic terrorism.
It's
right?
Just that strong ass belief they got, bro.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the convictions are like it doesn't matter. Like it comes first. You know what I'm saying? It's like I'm gonna do this no matter what. You know, they're not. But the thing is, like they're crazy, but they're not like. You know, mentally ill.
They definitely have the willpower.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so I feel
strength,
like,
so to speak,
right.
To sacrifice, you know, whatever their freedom in this guy's case, or their lives in the case.
Well, just clear consciousness between right and wrong.
Right. Well, the ideology. The thing is that this the ideology that is circulating. Okay, so I know we were talking about it before that CNN was there was a CNN article that we were talking about that is arguing. Was it CNN that they're about the Islamophobia normalization?
It was Fox.
It was Fox. It was Fox. Okay. So Fox, you know, so
Vox.
Oh, Vox. 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 Okay, got you, got you. Yeah, Fox wouldn't say that. Yeah, Fox wouldn't say that. So that you know, I'm pretty sure a Muslim person wrote mm-hmm. that article, yeah, right? It was a Muslim person that was writing the article because they felt that, you know, things like this happen because of the normalization of Islamophobic ideologies,
which I don't agree with, but.
Well, I mean, we could all feel what we feel about that particular statement. However, the ideology is circulating.
Right. Definitely.
So, I mean, and
the thing, manifestation of it, you know, this Dylan Roof. I mean, it's the, you know, it's definitely.
But it's the willpower. But it's the ability for someone to execute their willpower in that sort of way, and really, my first kind of like curiosities were how does someone like that get to that point? And
several ways, I'd say.
And we're definitely gonna get into that. And what's crazy is that when you look at this guy's regular life prior to this, you wouldn't expect.
Tell me about it, because I know you did some research on a little bit of who he was before this.
Basically. So he's a 28-year-old man. Okay,
who he is still. He's still alive.
He's native to Australia.
Gotcha.
He recently ran into some money after his father's passing,
gotcha.
And 8 years ago he began globetrotting. Okay, so he's been traveling the world. A mm-hmm. bunch of his neighbors say he comes from a good family. There was never no, you know, trouble with him. Regular individual, right. The same right. spiel you hear all the time.
Right, right. It's a good point. We'll talk about that a little bit later on.
Until a trip to Europe when the Stockholm truck attack happened, which he wrote in his 74-page manifesto, guys. 16,500 words manifesto. He spent 2 years planning this attack.
It's pretty much a master's thesis. I mean, like
this guy went in.
It's pretty much a master's thesis.
It had memes. It had poems. It had video game references. This guy went in and he posted it on this website called 8chan.
Oh, 8chan. Wow.
Right. So if you're
I'm not really sure what that is.
So
a trolling website.
Yeah, so I don't know if you're familiar with 4chan. 4chan was like the first one. It's kind of like this forum, this random forward creepy
Reddit,
right? shit.
Reddit, yeah.
So it's Reddit. Like Reddit is like, you know how Reddit, like you click on it and it's a whole like someone posts something, there's comments on this.
Right. It's a forum. Essentially.
Yeah, I know the forum.
But I'm saying it's slightly different format though. It's like it's much more private. It's much more designed for trolling. The dankest memes you can think of. The darkest,
a lot of dark humor type shit.
Oh, super, super, I feel like super that's the dark. Main like, point like sick shit. Like sick shit. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Shit. Yeah.
Like the deepest darks. Depth of your mind and whatever you're thinking back there.
So like putting babies in a microwave and shit. Like.
Type shit. Yeah. Type shit.
No, literally. Type shit. You can type that into 8chan or 4chan right now.
And is this a part of the dark web or this is...
No, this is a regular website. You can go to it right now.
Dark web has other shit. This is probably the darkest that the regular web allows, right?
Type shit.
Right.
It's just anonymous trolling. That's all it is.
Really? Besides, like, that's fucked and all those fucked up websites.
That shit is fucked.
Well, that's videos and stuff. 8chan is like GIFs and like, you know,
like
memes.
A bunch of memes and
ideas.
And ideas. Yeah.
So what exactly did he put in 8chan?
Do you know?
So there's a couple of references here. So
did they delete it? Is it still up?
Did they delete what? Oh, his manifesto? I don't know.
I doubt it.
He posted the manifesto to 8chan.
Yeah.
Got you.
He posted the whole manifesto to 8chan. That's what they're saying. Fuck.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. This guy, posted...
He must have done it right before he went out.
So, check this out. So, according to New York Post, he originally came to New Zealand to live temporarily while he planned and trained. And listening on SoundCloud, while I say live temporarily and planned and trained, those are in quotes, okay? But ended up deciding to stage the mass shooting there to show that nowhere in the world was safe.
Wow.
Okay? Then they took this straight from his manifesto. And I quote, "The invaders were in all of our lands, even in the remotest areas of the world, and that there was nowhere left to go that was safe and free from mass immigration," end quote.
He's trying to make the point that New Zealand, for the most part, you don't hear shit bad coming out of New Zealand, for the most part. I mean, I'm sure they have their own things going on and stuff, but, you know, he was just,
Well, his point is... his point raises actually an even broader topic that's kind of not really talked about. I'll bring it up later. But
by the way, this manifesto was titled "The Great Replacement."
Yeah, the Great Replacement. Yeah.
What exactly was he trying to
This is what they think. Like the you can call them white nationalists, white supremacists, whatever you want to call them.
They actually mention how, really quick, yep. because it's relatable, mm-hmm. they say he sort of has, like, right-wing conspiracy and, like, white supremacy, you know, hints in this manifesto.
So when they talk about, you know, quote-unquote right-wing conspiracy, you know, what they really mean is, like, so modern-day white supremacists believe that leaders of countries, especially in the UK, not so much in the US, but really, like, European countries, there's a great replacement ethnically and racially. So I don't know if you guys know this, but there are migrants, economic migrants en masse moving from, you know, Africa and the Middle East, coming to places.
Europe, yeah.
Coming to Europe.
Oh, absolutely. East, oh, yeah. Sweden, like, UK, like there's a big, like...
not Switzerland, but...
Immigration, like, to, like, I think Germany got a lot of them.
Germany and France.
Germany got... And France. Too. Right.
So, like, what he's saying is that they're bringing an incompatible culture... and they're basically, their intent is to completely replace the white race with their stuff, bring their ideology, bring their values to the West, because
and many
the West
of these
is
people,
accepting them with open arms.
Because they're asylum seekers, right? I think he's, you know, they are coming from war-torn places, right?
Right. And not all of them. But,
not all of them. But
I wouldn't even say most of them are, actually. But
but for the most part, they are coming as asylum seekers to these countries.
Sort of. So there are people coming from places like Syria.
Gotcha.
You know, war-torn countries. And those are the people that are coming, you know, to these countries to be, you know, to really have a good life.
But
what a lot of people don't realize and a lot of people don't mention is that, you know, England, France, you know, Germany, the whole UK, they're offering benefits to people who don't, or basically they're just offering benefits to migrants. So people who would otherwise stay in their country or would otherwise, you know, move to a country closer to them are risking their lives to come and get these free benefits.
Mm-hmm.
But the downside to that is they bring a culture that is incompatible. So a lot of you can call them Islamists or Muslims or whatever. They bring a culture that is not, you know, compatible with the West as far as freedom. And you're literally seeing like Sharia police in these places where they have migrants everywhere. So police are like afraid to come to these places. Rape has gone up in a lot of these places. It's true. We can look it up.
That's crazy.
And so this guy is saying, like, you know, he's taking that and going, you know, I'm gonna fight back.
Right,
you know,
right,
I'm gonna say right. fuck all that shit. I don't want that in my country.
He's taking
the matter into his own hands.
Right, I feel you.
And it's a real problem, and it's something that really is like being swept under the radar. He's not wrong in saying that is like that's what it comes off as being. Like there is a great replacement, and there are people who come here and they do want to replace the culture, but it's not as crazy. I would say it's not as like prevalent as he's saying it is.
So you're saying he's taking what a truth
mm-hmm. and just expanding
and it. Expanding on it in a very negative way.
He's handling it very wrongly.
Right.
Look at what
he said.
This is a direct excerpt from this manifesto. Quote, "Something that have been a part of my life for as long as I could remember, cynicism in the face of attacks on the West by Islamic invaders,
mm-hmm.
was suddenly no longer there," end quote. That is exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
This guy literally had the biggest hatred for
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. Muslims and wanted to completely delete them.
Yeah.
You know, it's even more insane. I'm sorry to be, like, so opinionated on this because I'm trying to stay as, you know, objective as possible here. Mm-hmm. But
you can't be on this
it's really tough to, you know. And this guy wanted this attack to spark a United States civil war.
Yeah, a race war, yeah.
He was a Trump supporter as well.
Yeah.
He mentioned Trump in his mm-hmm. manifesto. Mm-hmm. He mm-hmm. also put up a, and I'm just doing this because this is what I saw, this is for the viewers at home. He put this up on his leg at the courtroom, at the photo, and that's supposedly a white supremacy sign.
Man. Power.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Oh, white.
Supposedly.
Power. WP.
Holy shit.
White power. Yeah.
Didn't even realize that.
White power.
You're supposed to do it with this hand, apparently. Yeah.
And another crazy thing that the New York Post mentioned here. I think this is pretty relevant because we were speaking about the guns. Mm. And I was wondering, like, what's on the guns? I thought he had, like, a specific camo, like a white camo or some shit. Because it literally looks like a Call of Duty, trailer.
Copy. What was on it, man?
Words scrawled, and this is from New York Post. Words scrawled on Terrence rifles and ammo magazines included references to Ebba Åkerlund and an 11-year-old girl killed in the Stockholm attack.
Wow.
The names of 15th century Hungarian military leaders, as well as the number 14, possibly for the 14 words of a white supremacist slogan derived from Adolf Hitler's
Mein Kampf. Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that really quick?
That's insane.
Well, this just further demonstrates that where he was coming from was an ideological. It was driven by an ideology.
Like reasons on the gun type shit.
He felt very strongly about these things. Extremely, and he was doing this with a purpose, and he believed, and that right there tells me that he believes he was doing the greatest good that he could do.
Yeah, that's exactly what he thought.
You know? We can see this, and this is why good and evil are so subjective.
Yeah.
Because to him, his good was saving the world from, Islam, the replacement.
Islamic faith.
The by Islam.
Yes.
You know?
God.
But, that was his good.
His good.
Yeah. That was his good.
Key word, guys. His good.
It's amazing the subjectivity of that. Although we would like to believe that humanity as a whole, understands good and evil in the same way, that unfortunately is not the case. And this is where we see things like this happen, especially with differences in religions.
There'll never be world peace.
No, I think that is humanly impossible.
I think it's literally impossible for there to be like world peace.
Yeah. You know,
For shit like that, because there's always going to be at least there's always that one motherfucker's like, oh, that's what you're doing. Like, I will literally oppose shit just because.
I think there is.
Why are you thinking like that? I'm not the same. You know what I'm saying? Like some bullshit, like, yeah, or something like, nigga, there'll never be world peace.
I think there's one way that we will have unified world peace. And I'm gonna go to one of my favorite superhero movies, Watchmen. You guys ever watch Watchmen?
Yeah.
Okay, so
Dr. Manhattan though.
Yeah. What?
I know you were Dr. Manhattan.
I was definitely Dr. Manhattan on Instagram.
Fucking killed that, by the way.
Check that out.
Can't wait for this
Halloween. It was so fucking awesome. So
dude, you never seen him as Dr. Manhattan?
This guy.
Dude, I was like pure blue. Like, I did the whole makeup.
It was legitimate.
It was fun.
Legitimate.
Anyway. So, short, I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but Dr. Manhattan was set in the Cold War era.
Are you
going to
spoil it? Fuck.
It was set in the Cold War era, and one of the main antagonists of the movie at the end had the... I love movies that have like a bad guy. No. I love movies that have a bad guy. No. I'm sorry. But I love movies that have a bad guy, but like they actually make sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, for example, Thanos. Thanos in Infinity War. He had this idea of like you know overpopulation and taking off half.
Awful logic.
This guy, it was a little bit more logical. All these countries that are going to be at war, right? All these countries that are normally at war, they will unify under the idea that there is one enemy that they have in common. Yeah. So the only way that we would be able to unify is if we have one enemy. And that's exactly what he did. He created an enemy, a common enemy at that time the Cold War was between Russia or the Soviet Union and America. And whatever countries that were siding with either side, he created a common enemy that was from outer space. Well, not from outer space. No, he was from Earth,
well,
but he was.
The movie version is different. But, yeah.
Anyway. So a lot of people think that if we have invaders from outer space, and we would have this common enemy. That we would
the
have world peace. Okay. Anyway,
that's a little extreme.
It's a little out there, but
I like it though. But
yeah,
it actually brings us. It's a perfect segue into what we're going to talk about. And
That's a meta-analysis of
what
these
mass
shooters.
What is
mass
like the second coming of Christ? I mean, I don't know. Whoa,
second. This guy's getting religious.
What? What? I was just saying, what? Imagine that was it.
We're gonna we will have another Take Me to Church episode soon. Yeah. Please be on point for that. You know, be aware.
Yeah, be fine.
The next one might have to be about Christianity, and that was actually a pretty, you know...
Catholicism.
Right, type shit. But, back to this. So... Meta-analysis, Alec, you were mentioning it to us.
Well, trying to understand. Yeah, but trying
to understand the minds of these mass shooters.
Right. And the thing is that, again, you hear the testimony of the people that knew these guys, right? Or this particular guy, right? And you hear, there was nothing wrong with him. He had a great childhood, you know? And that's the reality of this. You know, we have, I feel like we have these misconceptions, and it's been shown that we have these misconceptions about these mass shooters and the fact that they're loners. And the fact that they're antisocial, and the fact that they are always depressed and stuff like that, which in some cases, I'm pretty sure in some cases that they are. Yeah. Right. But the thing is that we try to paint this picture because we're trying to create a profile of people that are actually going to perpetrate this. Okay. And this is, you know, organizations like the FBI, and various other organizations that are responsible for catching these things and trying to, you know, sniff out the red flags beforehand. That's their job. They're trying to create a profile of these people and
this image.
Right. To create
so
to create an image.
Prior, I would assume, right?
Right, right, right.
You know, it's funny because it's almost worked before.
Yeah.
No, I don't doubt that it hasn't worked in the past if for certain cases. But when we start to associate them with one type of person, particularly the antisocial type, you know, that's when things start to get a little bit mischaracterized and we start to divert our attention from possible other ways that people can actually get into something like this, especially with the ideology aspect, right?
I was gonna say, the idea is to distance yourself away from, like, the person who, you know, is normal couldn't be because I'm normal too. So that would mean I have a chance of being a shooter, and I could never be a shooter. That's what people think. So that's why they're like, you know what? Like, the idea of the loner being the guy who kills everybody makes sense because he wasn't liked anyway. All these bad things happened to him or blah, blah, blah. It's not like it's much more unsettling to think, well, my best friend could be the one who carries this out tomorrow.
Yeah. You
know, my best friend could be the one who takes a gun to school and kills his teacher.
Yeah.
It's harder. You know, that's much harder to deal with than it is the kid who sits in the back of class and is antisocial and doesn't like
it. I mean, so do you think that these people are just trying to create sort of an accepted image, for lack of a better term? So sort of like you just said, like, it's easier to handle, oh, he's a loner, so it would make sense compared to, he had a group of friends. Why would he...
Yeah.
Well,
would
you
thing
say
is,
that this is sort of like on purpose?
Well,
because
absolutely. I mean, like, if you look at I think it's on purpose, but I don't think it's, you know, it wasn't intentionally done that way. But this is just the way that our mind works.
Yeah.
Our mind works because we try to associate things so that things can be more predictable to us. All right, this is how stereotypes work. Right.
It's a general sign.
It's generalization for the sake of trying to create a profile so that we can later identify the warning signs. And this is something that happens subconsciously. But this is something that happens subconsciously. And that's where stereotypes come along. Right.
Yeah.
But here in this case, this is actually done with intent. So
I think it's brewed by the subconscious.
It is brewed by the subconscious. No, absolutely.
I'll let you finish your point because that's something I wanted to get to.
But when you actually look at the facts, okay, so I'm gonna be referring to, you know, a particular study. This particular study was that meta-analysis that you were talking about, right? And just to give you an idea of what a meta-analysis is, so a study of a mass or several mass shooters is just that, studying mass shooters, right? N number of mass shooters, right? Right. No. That's a regular study. A meta-analysis is a study of various studies, right? Because certain studies themselves are. No, because he went straight to meta-analysis. That's why.
Okay,
I was trying to explain what the difference between a study and a meta-analysis.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Study is just studying the actual, you know, one study, right? But meta-analysis is a study of many studies. And this is just to paint a broader picture so that we have a better idea. Yeah. Because certain studies are conducted in a certain type of way.
These are necessary.
And they're absolutely necessary.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, just to make sure that, you know, we have...
Yeah, they help understand things
right.
much clearer.
Right. So, for example, one study might
come out with the conclusion that, hey, yeah, the majority of, you know, mass shooters are loners because they only looked at a certain subpopulation, right? And that subpopulation might not be sampled in the right way. A meta-analysis will get rid of a lot of that, those like kind of like bias factors by studying multiple different studies that might have different ways of studying mass shooters, right? This is just the base, you know, basics behind meta-analyses, right? But this particular meta-analysis studied 160 active shooter incidents between the years of 2000 and 2013. And they did it in two phases. Phase one looked at, which was published in 2014, examined who carried out the rampages, where, how, with, and what impact, and with what impact these things had. All right. The second phase looked at the behavior prior to the actual shooting.
Okay.
And so most, in fact, when they looked at the meta-analysis, had many social connections, which actually goes against that misconception that, you know,
they were loners.
That they were loners.
They're only loners.
Right. They're social people for the most part. I mean, they have to interact. I mean, these people have to, you know, they have jobs, they have families, right. You know, and oftentimes they found here when they questioned the, when they had questioned the families or the people that knew them, they only felt that way for the most part. They felt that way in retrospect. So after the thing has happened, after the actual attack had actually happened, they looked back and they, oh yeah, wait a second, that behavior actually kind of like coincided with you know, kind of warning signs.
Yeah, now, like, before you continue, I just want to take us to the last music break here. And when we come back, we're going to continue with this meta-analysis that Alec is bringing up, because this is actually some very fucking interesting shit here,
for
guys.
Sure.
And I hope you guys are listening in, because this is something a lot, you know, of us don't speak about. You don't see this on regular media here. So you got us doing a lot of research here to basically spread this knowledge, because we care about y'all just as much as we care about
us. We're like learning about it ourselves too. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty dope.
And taking us out is going to be Foster the People with Pumped Up Kicks, man. Enjoy this this pickup beat, you know? Checkbox. It is your boy Check. Once again, that was Foster the People with Pumped Up Kicks.
Great band.
Yes, indeed. And for those joining us right now, just to give you a quick update, we were speaking about the tragedy of the mosque shooting out in Christchurch, New Zealand. Okay, I gave you guys some info on the shooter, who he was, what was basically sort of his motive. We spoke about his 74-page, 16,500-word manifesto that he posted to 8chan, which is a regular website you can obtain from any internet browser available now at your disposal. Also, Alec had, you know, we sort of hinted at the mindset of the shooter regarding the New Zealand mosque, and Alec brought up a meta-analysis article that he was reading, and he mentioned there's a couple of phases. We got into the first one in the second segment. Alec, if you want to just pick up, maybe actually repeat the what you said in the first segment. Very brief, just so you know, because there's probably people that just walked into my shop right now.
Yeah, of course.
People who just walked in, you know, to the room listening. So just yeah.
Of course. Of course. So this was a meta-analysis, again, from that was looking at studies, particularly 160 active shooter incidents between the years of 2000 and 2013. This study was done in two phases. The first phase examined who exactly carried out these rampages, right? So actually trying to develop a profile across all of these incidences. Where, how, and with what impact these incidents happened or were perpetrated. And the second phase looked into the behavior before the actual shooting or the actual perpetration of the shooting. And really important, I mean, again, the goal of these studies, for the most part, is to build a profile of people that are more likely to perpetrate these mass shooters in the goal of trying to pick up on the red flags. And what I love about this study is the fact that, again, didn't study just one group of, mass shooters. It studied a whole bunch of other studies. That's the definition of a meta-analysis, so that you can get a bigger sampling. And one of the things that they had concluded from this study, something I mentioned in the last segment, was that there is a big misconception when it comes to these mass shooters and the fact that these people are loners, the fact that these people are antisocial. In reality, these people are everyday people. These people have lives. People have families. People have jobs.
You know what it is? I feel like you hear that they're a loner at first, and then after a couple of days, you hear... You know, these not testimonies, but you know, these neighbors and facts. Shit, and the people who know the person, They say he was a good person.
You know what it is? I think it's like stereotype.
It is absolutely a stereotype.
I think you see the word loner, mm-hmm.
and you think of a kid around, with like long hair. Like,
I'm saying like shit like that. After it happens, you see the word loner, like could be a loner, could be this, could be that, from people who think it is, and then when the facts come out, that's when you hear different. People just assume it's a loner, so they're gonna, was this a loner, lone wolf, or someone making a bad joke or being sarcastic about it? That's like when you see it the most, and then the facts come back, and it's like, oh no, he wasn't a loner; he was just regular. Yeah,
they might not be loners, but one thing that this study did point out was that the fact that they all had very similar patterns of behavior prior to. So the thing is that these people are not loners, right? These people are not antisocial, but they will display certain characteristic behaviors. Some of the behaviors, some of the behaviors being anger, paranoia, depression. Trembling levels of interpersonal conflict, or communicated threats of violence, right? The actual kind of the more direct sort of violence.
I'll fucking beat you up.
The thing is that but
they will literally do that.
Is that this can come from different. This can come from different. Different places, right? Mm-hmm. These behaviors can come from different places. They can have some sort of clinical, this can be some sort of clinical manifestations of some sort of biological, psychological disorder, right? Or this could be driven by some ideological, ideological origin in the case of this New Zealand attacker, right? However, when you do see these behaviors, right, they're not all at once. You might hear anger, paranoia, depression, you know, threats of violence. And it might sound like, if I saw that, I'll totally fucking report
that.
Think
he's a fucking shooter. No, day in the Bronx, man.
The thing is that, you know, in reality, a lot of these behaviors are observed. And this is what they saw, were observed very isolated. You know, they're sprinkled around the experiences that other people had with this person. It's not all concentrated in one area. So they kind of had little bouts of anger, little bouts of depression, little bouts of this. When taken individually,
it's just, oh, he's going through something right now.
Right, okay. Right, and so in this study, they found that 41% concerned bystanders only notified law enforcement 41% of the time.
Where's the study from, by the way, bro?
This study is from...
That's honestly higher than I thought it would be.
Well, the website was 41 Jones, but who did this?
Right.
Just where's it from?
It's an FBI study. It's an FBI study.
Okay.
It is an FBI study.
Legit. You guys remember the FBI Parkland shooting? Analysis. The one in Florida?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I think it was... I could be wrong. I don't know if it's a Parkland shooting or not, but... I remember one of these shootings, it was like the county had gotten noticed of it several times from like
different people.
Showing guns on Facebook, kill people, and they were like reporting directly to it. And because the county sheriff didn't want to act, it might have been just it was like something he was trying to like avoid.
Right.
That he just let it go on and on and on.
I'll tell you what it might be. I'll tell you what it might be. Because think about it.
It was like a quota or something. Like something within law. Something within the law was like, if it was like a false flag or something, he would have been in hot water.
Right.
So
right.
He was like, fuck it. I'm not going to do anything about it.
Well, this is the problem, right? So this is the conundrum, right? I mean, and this should be going with anyone that, you know, has a brain between their ears. Okay. You're trying to build a profile of these people so that you can catch them before they do things, right? I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Minority Report.
Yeah.
With Precog. So the premise is that in the future that they have these a sort of system that they can predetermine who is going to be, you know, perpetrating a crime, and therefore they'll arrest them before they actually perpetrate the crime. Watch it. Colin Farrell. It's a great movie. It's nice. It's Colin Farrell, right?
Tom Cruise. Both.
Both? Yeah. Okay, cool. I wasn't wrong. So in this case, right, obviously we don't have that going on now, but the purpose of these studies is to figure out, hey, you know, what are the red flags? The problem is that, let's say you do have the red flags. You have little bouts of anger. You have little bouts of depression. You have this, that, and the third. Is that enough to detain someone? I think that might have been where you're coming from, because that actually has a term that's called preventative detention. Yeah. The detaining of someone to prevent an act of harm.
And keep in mind, that's like something like what I'm talking about is the guy literally put guns on Facebook. And
I'm
going to shoot people at blah,
blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he blatantly said what he was going to do.
See, that's a little bit more obvious. Oh, no, for sure. I don't argue that. Yeah. But the question still remains.
Yeah, they should have
acted. We create a profile of these people. Someone matches the profile, but they haven't yet done it. What the fuck do you do?
You know what's crazy about that is that Dylan Wood, HP Show.
Dylan Wade.
Dylan Roof. I think, Roof.
That's the...
we're talking about somebody Wade in Louisville.
Dylan Wade, yeah.
Louisville. Or just somewhere in Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken.
Get your life.
I know, right? HP sent it to us. So basically, it was this guy, a kid, who posted a photo of him saying, call the police, I'm here, this and that, send them. He ended up killing one policeman and injuring another.
Probably two, three months ago. Did he display, like, well, that's the thing.
I mean, wouldn't you sort of relate that to what you're mentioning? Like, that's a behavior.
That's a little bit more acute, though. That's a little bit more acute. That's a little bit more like, hey, come through. That's not subtle. Yeah. What we're talking about is maybe a little bit more latent. So you start displaying these behaviors along a longer span of time. Right? So you have time to you don't have time at that point.
Your subconscious is working.
Right?
I'm saying your subconscious is working and you reach a point where it's like now it's becoming blatant. Like you're posting on fucking Facebook, you're posting, you know what I'm saying? You're doing all this shit. You feel me? Like, cause I feel like at first it doesn't get like you're not like that, you get what I'm saying? Now, subconsciously, it starts off like maybe you have an instance where you might think a certain way, you know what I'm saying? Like,
this dude's crazy.
Yeah, or no. I guess the way I'm trying to show this in my head. So, I guess for me, the way I think about it, because, the subconscious thing is a little scary. The way I would think about it is, like, for me, for example, like, sometimes I'll be, you know, sometimes you'll be really upset about something, so you'll be like, yo, like, this happened to me the other day, and I was somebody, I'm not, without being too into it, somebody, I thought something was sus. Somebody did something that was like, ah, yo, I ain't really like that.
Cool. Okay.
And basically, long story short, in my head, I was thinking about the situation too much, getting too deep into the situation, and I was like, yo, somebody that person fucked with, I was like, yo, they thinking this certain way, you know what I'm saying? I was just playing shit out, trying to get ahead, like, being one step ahead. And then I started feeling a certain way towards the person, and I had to catch myself. I was like, ah, yo, like, you're bugging. You feel me? I feel like that's kind of, in a sense, what's happening with these shooters, you know what I'm saying? Like, they just reached a point of no return, and they're planning. And they're doing all the shit they're carrying because they don't catch themselves. Right. You get what I'm saying, in a sense?
It's like repeated bouts of feeling like a negative thought, right?
Exactly.
And it just builds and builds. And eventually it's
got
like...
Got you. So you're talking more in the mind of the actual perpetrator.
I was relating it to how it happens in my... Because it happened, bro.
It happens. Well, it's that subtle where it happens to all of us. It's just you don't realize it, bro.
No, but it's also true. Not and just then, that. It's like, yeah. I'm willing to bet what you were feeling wasn't reinforced on a troll blog or like on,
exactly.
a,
on a troll yeah, forum. Exactly. Yeah, right?
Yeah. And I'm willing to bet what you were feeling was something like person to person level, yeah, yeah, not yeah, about a whole
was.
Group of people.
Exactly. Yeah, it was, oh, yeah, that's true.
You know, person if, to person. If they didn't have access to things, I'm not saying you should take the internet away, but like, if they didn't have access to something like 4chan that and other people it, who yeah. were like, yeah, I feel that way too, man.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, exactly. Well, I had nobody in my right. ear, like, right. like, yo, yeah, man, they
no
might
devil
be bugging.
On your shoulder going, you know, fuck those.
No, I, yeah. no, absolutely. I feel like these platforms allow for, you know, those particular, you know, ideologies to be circulated and amplified, yeah. really. I mean, they amplify because, I mean, think about it. I mean, you have a whole bunch of people thinking the same thing and egging each other on. I mean, it will only get bigger. You know, and it, you know, it's a good point to make.
But to what you're saying about like what to do about it, though.
Yeah, that's my big question. That's really when where I wanted to get to.
The thing you'll have to do is like the next step. Honestly, because other people, it would take like other people being very good at seeing these signs.
It's not, but my point is
doing something about it.
My question is like, yeah, go ahead.
It would take the. You would have to strip away people's rights.
That's my point.
The first sign of trouble.
That's my thing. That's my thing.
That's what it would take.
That's my thing. So, I mean, you know, I appreciate the work that the FBI is doing right now. And I know they appreciate it, and I know they want to get to the point where they can actually pick these people out like a year before they actually perpetrate something like the New Zealand massacre. Yes. And I don't doubt that. But, so... I mean,
it's almost like a stop and frisk.
Aside from increased surveillance on the person, right? What do you like? What
either way is going to take an invasion of privacy?
Right. So there is going to be some sort of invasion of
what's an acceptable
either privacy or
of privacy,
rights or something like that, right? So it's sort of like, so like, where does it go from there?
Exactly.
You got the information,
that.
Like, yeah. what the fuck do you do with
exactly,
it?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know,
it's
and
tough,
so this
man.
Is where the preventative detention thing is like, you know, okay, fine. Let's say if you fucking knew for a fact someone was going to do that tomorrow, but the only way that you could do it is if your ass would be on the line. You know, if you caught him and he ended up not doing it, which...
He didn't do it because you caught him.
He didn't do it because you caught him. You're asking me in line. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's a conundrum. It's like,
so
what
like,
the
oh,
fuck?
What the fuck? You're...
Yeah, so
you know I'm...
Yeah, and this is why I like the movie so much because it's like they knew for a fact.
False imprisonment.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, like this is what the whole preventative detention thing is. Another thing that I wanted to point out about this this particular study was that it reaffirmed the fact that there is no... useful demographic when studying across all these 160 incidences of mass shootings. There's no useful demographic. There is no useful. Well, think about it. The vast majority were male, all of which were between.
I feel like I've never seen a female.
I've never seen a female mass shooter.
San Bernardino.
It was a guy and his.
June 2015.
It was a couple, wasn't it?
Yeah, a radicalized couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They went to Syria or
that was the whole,
to train
that was the big whole controversy California. With Apple stuff, right? That they didn't want to unlock their iPhones.
Yes, yeah.
They went to court and the FBI was like,
that
yo, unlock their phones.
Yes, I remember that.
And Apple's like,
that.
Privacy. Read the privacy agreement.
They just don't have the technology to do it. Like, they purposely didn't build that back door. So that way there wouldn't be a back door for the FBI to be like, you open that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we didn't make one.
Yeah.
No. I mean, just to say that you know when they looked at a lot of these cases, I mean, obviously, the majority of them were male.
Mm-hmm.
All right, between the ages of 12 and 88, that literally
12 and 88.
So
that's
that literally narrows it down to half the human population,
the
right?
12?
So,
shit,
the youngest 12.
Yeah,
how
do you even
perpetrating gun violence? You know,
that's like shooting your school bus.
It happens.
You know what's
crazy
though?
You have to understand where we grow up, we don't have
what I was getting to.
We don't have
it's
where
a different culture.
We grow up, and that is what the inner city. We're not in the city. We're not in fucking Times Square. We're not in fucking, you know, these touristy shits.
Ain't far
we're,
from
we're,
it, man. Manhattan.
We're in the inner city. My guy's uptown in Harlem.
Manhattan.
I'm in uptown, the Bronx. He's in Mount Vernon. He's in the South Bronx. We are around. He's in Harlem.
The camera guy.
My guy Marshall. I'm gonna go Marshall.
The camera guy.
In this inner city where there's a bunch of gun violence. There's a bunch of fucking gun violence. And
never dealt with it, but I mean, I hear about it.
Well,
look at
that.
Well,
how about that? He's in the South Bronx, and he don't deal with it. He's on a different end of the spectrum compared to us. You know what I'm saying?
How many gun shootings have you?
I'm not gonna front. I hear a gunshot at least once every week and a half.
Are you serious?
Swear to God, bro.
Maybe I just don't know what a gunshot sounds like.
I see piss in the fucking stairway and the elevators. Dude, it smells like weed every goddamn. Yeah. It is normal, but it's not normal to a lot of folks, bro. I have an elevator in my building for a lot of niggas don't even fucking ride elevators their whole life.
Dude, the last time I was in your elevator, though, dude, it did not smell like piss. It was clean.
Well, congratulations to Paychester Houses. They just got bought up by CNC Apartment LLC. Nice. So now I'm living in luxury apartments. But back to the inner city, like, there's gun violence there. And I feel like it's different in the city, man, compared to the mass shootings. We have an image for these people who sort of would do some
and
shit.
And it is glorified. And
you know what I'm saying?
There's a good reason for it, though. Why it's such a big difference.
Why?
The reason is because, like, you have to think about it like this, right? Like, I'm going back to the sort of lonely, you know, the lonely
stereotype.
Lone wolf stereotype, right? Like, these kids, like, for one, they got nothing better to do, right? They're not worrying about where their next meal or check are coming from. Yeah. They're not worried
about... Not all of them. Some of them are.
You know, they're not... A lot of them are not raised by single moms. Some of them are, but, you know, a lot of them are, you know, some of them may be abused, obviously, but, you know, their basic needs are met, right? It's their psychological needs that are, like... Yeah. They're not met in a different way than...
Yeah.
Because I would argue the psychological needs of an inner city shooter need to be addressed in a different way.
Mental health, but we talked about mental health is not addressed in...
Yeah.
Like,
inner city shooters don't have... They don't, like...
Shooters.
But I'm just saying, like, shooters from the inner city, right? Like, their problems are different.
And it has, like, a more positive connotation in a weird way. You give us, like, inner city shooter.
I'm an inner city shooter.
I'm saying, like, oh, but like, let's say, like, in the city, you say, oh, I'm a shooter. You know, how people rap it, I'm a shooter. I'm a shooter.
They don't have the time to
It's more normalized.
I mean, I think now is a great place to meld, you know, mass shootings and gun violence because, to be honest, both of them are gun violence anyway.
Different culture, different everything, I would say.
Could have different origins for sure. Could have different motives behind it, especially from where you're from, right?
Yeah, the culture is much different.
Right? Absolutely. So you see, for the most part, the 160 mass shooters that the FBI was studying here, nearly half of all of them were suicidal.
Right.
Okay. Half of all of them were suicidal.
That's crazy.
Makes a lot of sense.
And a big distinction that they wanted to make, and I think is a very important distinction to make, is the difference between having behavioral problems and having clinically diagnosable mental illnesses. Okay, and this is something that really it comes about when we talk about gun violence in general, because when you look in the inner city, right, we don't see mass shootings like this. This is not really what we see in a different connotation, right? I know, in a different context.
I feel like when gangs, that sort of makes it like, okay, yeah, oh, 10 people got shot because it was blood versus Crips. Okay,
that's my well, that's not a massacre. To be honest, you have a great point. I actually fucked up with the way that I actually like, you know, introduced that. That was actually a point that I was actually going to be making, you know, hopefully trying to make, was the fact that we think about it differently when it comes to the different people that are involved.
Normalization. That is the key word of this fucking
podcast. I wouldn't say normalization. It's not normalization.
I would.
It depends. For example, like,
I'm
not gonna lie.
I'm used to a fucking murder in the Bronx every day. I'm used to a gunshot.
It's not that. It's that the person.
The reason we're talking about, right?
It's
normalizing the reason, in a sense. No. I'm saying that's what we're arguing, whether the reason is normal.
What point are you trying to make, Alex?
The point I'm trying to make is that, so, for example, in the case of mental illness, right, mental illness is handled differently in different cultures. And we discussed this the other day, right? Okay, so I believe when deviant behavior is observed in, for example, in the Caucasian culture, mental illness is almost the first thing.
Yes.
I think we can all agree on that. Oh, he has ADHD.
Yeah.
He has schizophrenia.
Or his father left him.
That's it, you know.
Which could be true.
No, I'm not saying it's not true.
Yeah.
But one thing, you know, one thing you have to consider is that what if this is also happening in inner city,
yeah.
right? When in reality, when we look at deviant behavior happening in, let's say, the hood, right?
Yep.
You know, we just attribute it to...
Oh, he's just a savage.
Yep. He's just a savage. And that's almost something... And listen, and that's almost something that we glorify.
Yeah, it almost is glorified.
It has a positive connotation to it.
People look up to that.
Yeah, people look up to that.
People look up to savageness, right? People look up to that I don't give a fuck attitude. Yeah. Like, I'll do it. I don't give a shit kind of attitude. That deviant behavior is almost not only glorified... But isn't really
some aspects of savages? I feel like
it is expected in certain environments, it should be normalized in a certain context.
The type of savageness,
and that's what I'm saying.
You're held to a lower standard as an inner city, you know, young male. Really, you're held to a lower standard than everyone else.
Right, but it's almost like you're being looked at through a different lens through everyone else.
So the same behavior
that Billy is fucking doing.
That's what I'm saying.
Daquan is just being a deviant. Daquan, he's just doing that because that's just how he was raised. What if that's the normalization?
And that's the normalization even amongst the world.
I would say the normalization. I think normalization is the wrong word to use there. I would say more of like...
I mean, look at us, bro. Look at us. Right now, we're analyzing...
I'm trying to put it... It's a different word. Normalization is not the right word for that.
The kind of acceptance, in a sense?
Yeah.
It's the acceptance of that. It's the differential treatment... It's easier to associate. The perceptive disparities. I don't know. Well, I'm trying to get a term for this. But
I would call it standard.
You're
held to a much lower standard, I think.
I don't think it has to do with level. It just has to do with different. The same behavior is looked at differently in one community than in another community.
That's what I mean by standard, because it's like,
I guess you are held to a different standard.
Yeah, because the projects have a different standard.
When you come from the project, you're looked at as...
Project baby here. You're in the full vibration. I'm like Kodak Black, man.
Project check. When you come from a place that is, you know, a low income...
Project check.
I'm out.
I know you like that.
I'm out.
5 minutes left. What do you got?
Don't fuck with me. We can't get to video games.
We're gonna get down to he talks. Really quick.
Motherfucker.
When you come from poverty, you are perceived differently. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, you don't have, all your basic needs aren't met, so you're, in a way, violence is sort of
exchanged. It's understandable why you would do that.
It's like, okay, I understand why you shot him because you don't eat at home. You had a bad childhood. Exactly. When the reality is, it's like, the culture is just different. It's a thuggish, violent culture that a lot of inner city kids are raised in and taught that is normalized in that context.
Well, there could be a difference in the origin of that. Regarding what you said, I feel like
this is the biggest question I feel in a lot of mass shootings, video games.
Before you get to that, really quick. So for example, I think one of the main reasons why, and I just thought about this right now, one of the main reasons why we think about it differently is like the origin of these, the similar behaviors between them. So for example, someone from the hood might act the same way as obviously in their own way, as someone from the suburbs, someone white, right? Mm-hmm. Versus someone of ethnic...
Well, let's not say white, because there's black and
it doesn't matter. No, but you're...
You say suburbs. We're creating a situation.
Right. Just for the sake of comparison, right? So... One might have a great household, great parent, whatever it might be, but the reasons why they do it might be more biological, right? Not saying that doesn't occur in the hood, but
this is the
coming from struggle, right? You might be shaped by your society, and
right? So one is more. So this is the difference between psychopathy and sociopathy, right? Sociopathy, you're made. Psychopathy, you're born.
I see what you're saying.
But they might manifest in the same behaviors, right? So we might look at it differently because of the way that they came about. However, the same behavior manifests in both.
Yeah.
Why should we treat them differently if they're both mental disorders?
Yeah,
right.
They shouldn't be treated differently.
They shouldn't be treated
differently. But they are, because you would assume he got raised by his environment, so right. there's more factors. That's why he could be like that. Compared to if you grew up in the suburbs, is one factor, his family. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because if you grew up in a good environment, right. you're not in the hood. You're not shaped by your environment. You're shaped by your household mainly. Right. You would assume, and your friends.
But
and your,
that's what a lot of people.
But both, what I'm saying. Both affect the mind.
And they both affect the mind. And they should both be. They, you know what I'm saying?
They both treated as equal.
Exactly. Yeah. Inner city isn't as much as
slightly different.
But anyway, please get to the video games.
Well, Alec, I have horrible news, my brother.
What's up?
We're not gonna be able to get to them.
Oh fuck!
But what we will do, guys?
I mean, we'll talk about it.
Once this episode is released, what we'll do is we'll drop some of these questions the same day we drop this on our IG story. So that way you guys can sort of be up to date with it. You'll listen to the episode probably 2 p.m.
No, fuck it. We'll do like an IGTV and just like extend it, right?
We can do that. We can do that. Yeah. But so basically what the question is, and I want you guys to answer this, is do you think video games have an effect on these shootings? Whether it's a mass shooter or even in the hood, because we did mention inner city shootings as well.
Absolutely.
And I think we can all agree that we all know what Grand Theft Auto is.
A lot of GTA gets
a lot of GTA, man. You know, a lot of Call of Duty, shit like that, guys. But
San Andreas.
Yeah. Of course.
And then in IGTV, then we'll go ahead and talk about the actual findings that we found regarding that, and actually, you know, talking about the misconceptions around
because
that.
Because we do have some statistics that prove a lot of theories wrong, for lack of a better term. And guys, I just want to...
There's no evidence, hint, hint.
Yeah, pretty much. Guys, from all four of us, I just want to thank you for tuning in. Word. This was episode 11. You already know where you can follow me at check_7. My guy Kenneth at _inEveryColor. My guy Alec at Alec_Sergio. And my guy HP over here at HPenna7.
Nail polish
30. I did actually get a manicure, man.
Listen, dude, I got blinded by the fucking nails.
I treated myself and my wonderful queen, my mother, to a nice mani pedi day. Gentlemen, I posted it on IG. Take care of yourselves. And most importantly, take care of your woman, man, and your mother, man. Your mother's the most important, you feel me?
And check out that playlist. Check out that playlist on YouTube.
We released a new playlist. 10 episodes are up, man.
Our gems are popping.
We are out here. You got all of our Instagrams. Once again, HP at HPenna730. And of course, this podcast at The Checkbox with no K. That is at THECHECBOX, guys. Once again, episode 11. And we are going to have Kanye West and Jay-Z take you guys out tonight with Murder to Excellence. See you guys.
Bloody murder. Murder. Bloody murder. Murder, murder, murder. Bloody murder. Murder, murder. Murder, murder, murder. Papery murder, black on black murder. Papery murder, black on black murder.
This is to the memory of Dan Roy Henton. Too much enemy fire to catch a friend. Straight from the same shade, nigga, we on the same team. Giving you respect, I expect the same thing. All black, everything, nigga, you know my fresh coat. My fighting for you, don't increase my stress, though. Niggas watching the throne, very happy to be you. Power to the people, when you see me, see you.
And I'm from the murder capital, where they murder for capital. Heard about at least 3 killings this afternoon. Looking at the news like them, I was just with them after school. No shop class, but had the school got a tool. And I could die any day type attitude. Plus his little brother got shot repping his avenue. It's time for us to stop and redefine black power. 41 souls murdered in 50 hours.
The papery murder. Black on black murder. The papery murder. Black on black murder.
Genocide, cause I can still hear his mama cries. Know the family traumatized, shots left holes in his face, about paralyzed. The old pastor closed the cold casket and said the church ain't got enough room for all the tombs. It's a war going on outside when you ain't safe from. I feel the pain of my city wherever I go. 314 soldiers died in Iraq, 509 died in Chicago.
I arrived on the day Fred Hampton died. Real niggas smoke the fly. Yeah, December 21 is supposed to die. So I'm out here celebrating my post-demise. If you put crabs in a barrel to ensure your survival, you gon' end up pulling down niggas that look just like you. What up, blood? What up, cuz? It's all black. I love us.
The papery murder. Black on black murder. The papery murder. Black on black murder again. Black on black murder gang. Black on black murder gang.
It's a celebration of black excellence. Black tie. Black Maybachs. Black excellence, opulence, decadence. Texas next to the president. A present I dress in Dries. And other boutique stores in Paris. And sheepskin coats, I silence the glam. Do you know who I am, Clarice? No cheap cologne, whenever I success never smells so sweet. I stink of success, the new black elite. They say my black car bear the mark of the beast. I repeat, my religion is the beat. My verse is like church, my Jesus peace. Now please, domino. Domino, only spot a few blacks the higher I go. What's up, well? Shout out the O. That ain't enough, we gon' need a million more. Kicking the dough, Biggie flow. I'm all dressed up with nowhere to go.
Yeah, it's all messed up when it's nowhere to go. So we won't take the time out till we reach the T.O.P. For parolees, the whole G. So keys, low keys. We like the promised land of the OGs in the past. If you picture events like a black tie, what's the last thing you expect to see? Black guys, what's the life expectancy? Black guys, the system's working effectively. That's why I be a real man. Take care of your son. Every problem you had before this day is now done. New crib, watch a movie. Cause ain't nothing on the news but the blues. Hit the mall, pick up some Gucci. There ain't nothing new but your shoes. Sunday morning, praise the Lord. You the girl that Jesus has been saving me for. So let's savor this moment and take it to the floor. Black excellence, truly yours.